Hello, everyone, and welcome to Global Education Today, the podcast where we explore how global trends and technological advancements are shaping the way we learn. I'm your host, Linbin Ming, and today we're tackling a topic that's transforming classrooms, campuses, and even kitchen tables around the world. That topic is the transformative role of technology in global education. In a modern world, technology is a force of changing in almost every industry, and education is no exception. Over the past decade, tools like artificial intelligence, online learning platforms, and other digital innovations have completely refined how education is accessed and delivered. Schools, colleges, and universities are evolving at a pace we've never seen before. But here's the big question. Is technology the ultimate equalizer in education, or could it inadvertently widen the very gaps it promises to close? Today, we're going to explore how these new tools are reshaping the global education system. Can they eradicate geography inequalities? Can they truly create personalized learning experience for all students? And most importantly, how can we ensure those innovations foster equity rather than reinforce existing divides? We will also discuss a key concern, the cultural adaptability of technology. While a digital classroom in one part of the world might seem like the perfect solution, it might not translate seamlessly to other regions with vastly different educational traditions, languages, and resource constraints. So whether you're a teacher, student, policymaker, or just someone curious about how education is evolving in the 21st century, the episode is for you. By the end of our discussion, I hope you'll have a clear understanding of how emerging technologies are not only connecting students and teachers worldwide, but also introducing challenges we must address together. We also invite a special guest for today's episode, Lenita Johnson, a true leader in international education and training design. As a consulting director of the training and partnership developments at the Polarization and Extremism Research and Innovation Lab, PERL, Lenita is driving impactful change through her work. She has PERL's groundbreaking Summer Institute Fellowship, shaping the future of education and research, and leads training programs that reach audiences across the United States and beyond. Let's explore the potential and the pitfalls of education in the digital age. Stay with us. Welcome back to Global Education Today. In this segment, we're diving into the background and context of how technology has shaped and continues to shape education across the globe. Over the past two decades, we've seen remarkable technological advancements that have revolutionized education system. But while the promises is undeniable, the challenges these innovations bring deserve equal attention. Let's start with the big picture. Technology has made education more flexible, personal, and accessible. From a virtual classroom to AI-driven learning tools, digital platforms like MOOCs, massive open online courses, are breaking down barriers that once limited educational opportunities to the privileged few. Today, millions of people can access high-quality education regardless of their location or economic background. But here's the catch. The benefits of these advancements aren't evenly distributed. What we call the digital divide, the gap between those who have access to technology and those who don't, continues to hinder education, particularly in developing regions. For example, students in rural or economically disadvantaged areas often lack internet access, computers, or even basic digital literacy skills. This means that while some students thrive in a tech-driven learning environment, others are left behind. Unable to participate effectively in this new paradigm. Now, let's widen the lens to look at the global implications. Education is recognized as a fundamental human right, and technology has the potential to address some of the world's most painful educational inequalities. Digital tools can connect developed and undeveloped regions by offering solutions that continental classrooms simply can't. For instance, virtual classrooms allow students from different countries and cultures to collaborate and learn in real time, fostering international exchange and a sense of global community. However, there's a flip side. These same technologies can inadvertently reinforce inequalities. The cost of access, whether it's buying hardware, maintaining software, or upgrading internet services, can be prohibitively high for under-resourced schools and families. Moreover, these tools aren't always culturally adaptable. A platform designed for one region might fail in another due to the difference in languages, teaching styles, or curriculum standards. This raises critical questions about whether the global spread of educational technologies is helping or hindering equity. Finally, let's focus on educational inequality. Perhaps the most pressing issue tied to the adoption of technology in learning, while technology can increase the amount of learning happens in classroom, it often exacerbates disparities for minority and low-income students. For instance, during the COVID-19 pandemic, students from low-income families face even greater disadvantages. Many couldn't afford the device or internet service necessary to participate in the remote learning. Even within technologically advanced countries, the disparity between urban centers and rural areas is glaring. In developed cities, students have access to the latest tools and platforms, while those in undeserved regions often struggle with the outdated or insufficient resources. To close these gaps, it's not enough in of it. We must ensure that these innovations are accessible, equitable, and designed with inclusivity in mind. Otherwise, we risk using technologies to reinforce the very inequality we aim to eliminate. That's a complex reality of technology in global education. It's a force for incredible progress, but also a stark reminder of the work that remains to ensure education is a right, not a privilege. Now let's welcome Professor Hillary McCarthy. Thank you for joining us today, Mr. McCarthy.
Thank you for having me.
To start, can you share your perspective on the most significant advancements in educational technology and how they are influencing the global education?
Sure, it's a rather large question, but one that we can easily answer after COVID. Where we were in educational technology advancements vastly changed. What used to be a choice or a philosophy about education and the incorporation of technology really changed into it was a have to, right? In order for schools to stay open, they needed to quickly adjust from more traditional classroom settings and educational perspectives, and everything had to be online. What I think is positive about this is that we've been able to do some different kinds of educational approaches like flipped classroom. There is much more accessibility to information. Students are vastly more able to access the devices that they're using, the different types of apps and applications to use in the classroom, even at a younger age. Of course, there's a downside to that as well. It's impacted the amount of screen time. It also is at a cost for some social interaction, face-to-face learning. That can be a downside, but it has wildly changed since the COVID pandemic.
Thanks for answering. So how can different new technologies help reduce educational inequalities between developed and undeveloped regions?
I think not having to have the resources in the physical space where students are in different regions. So students in underrepresented areas, they can have access through the internet. They can have access to schools that are international through video and other means, where it used to be that you had to have a physical teacher who was qualified in the room. So there's a lot of accessibility. There's also a lot that you can access online. However, you do need to have the ability to get some sort of device in the hands of those students. I think the other part of the inequity and balance that's corrected by technology is the accessibility for neurodiverse students. So students can speech to text who have trouble generating ideas, who have trouble writing. There's all sorts of ways in which students are able to better represent what their knowledge is without it being in traditional ways. And technology certainly helps with that.
Great insights. What are some of the challenges you've observed, particularly in addressing the digital divide and cultural adaptability?
That's a challenging question. I do think we are more in touch than we've ever been before, right? So it spans globally in a way that it's never been in prior generations. However, the amount of time spent looking at a screen versus being able to interact and have collaborative conversation and communication, that's a skill that has to be worked on and explicitly taught and practiced. Sometimes that is missing. And so it isn't a either or, it's a both and have to have those things happening. Otherwise, how we actually do connect is not genuine. It isn't authentic.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As a final question, what policies or strategies would you recommend to governments and institutions to ensure that technology foster equity rather than exacerbating inequalities?
So some of the inequalities would be the amount of resources. So for policies, whatever device or technology is available to a student, they have to be able to be trained in using it. It has to be functional. In most large government systems, it's very hard to find a balance between counties, towns, school to school. In practice, when I was running a school, we had everyone have their own device and each of the kids had to learn how to navigate them separately. If each of them had the same device, they could all be instructed to learn that one device collectively, right? And that would give more accessibility. That way some devices aren't too advanced or not advanced enough or not properly working. So those are the kinds of things I would recommend, is finding a way to make sure kids have what they need and are trained to do it, to use those devices appropriately. I think funding towards any school system is going to be necessary. And so if there are systems that don't have ways for students to have accessibility to the internet and to other ways to connect, those students will be behind globally.
Thank you so much. I think it's perfect. Thanks again, Professor McCarthy. Your insight has been really valuable for us. Coming up next, we're going to do another interview with Mr. Lenita and see what she's going to say about these kind of topics. Stay tuned.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now let's welcome Lenita Johnson. Lenita Johnson is a CEO and founder of Illuminata and Consulting Corporation, a learning and development consulting firm, as well as an education foreign service officer. Thank you for joining us, Lenita.
No problem. Happy to help.
Okay. So to start, can you share your perspectives on the most significant advancements in educational technology and how they are influencing global education?
Sure. I think education technology has come a long way, whether it's technology that's used for folks with disabilities in the classroom, such as note-taking apps, to one of my favorite advancements is OpenAI, I think that OpenAI has had a really huge impact on education professionals and students for a number of reasons. With regards to educators, for example, I think OpenAI has helped level the playing field and created some time-saving opportunities from curriculum development, assistance, helping them innovate and ideate and brainstorm about assignments. I think OpenAI is a really wonderful tool that kind of gets people comfortable with ideation and getting, you know, some ideas for getting the juices flowing for some of the content that they might be thinking about and ways to teach or do workshops. And I think that we're helping, or I think that we're seeing that OpenAI is helping level the playing field while also creating some help with workflows and just professional and personal task handling.
What a great insight. Thank you. What are some of the challenges you've observed, particularly in addressing the digital divide and cultural adaptability?
Yeah, so with regards to the digital divide and the access to some of these tools, number one, it requires internet access. And so when we're talking about global communities, we know most folks are connected through cell phones. But if we're talking about the use of educational technology or softwares, it often requires bandwidth usage and devices to be able to utilize these tools as a way to start. And then it also requires a certain level of literacy and learning in these tools, right? So when we're talking about millennials or Gen Z or Gen Alpha, many of these groups, particularly in the Western world, have had access to devices and to software and to technologies much earlier in life or more consistently in life. And so when we talk about the inequity there, in the global South or in other areas, we're brushing up against folks not always having had access to the same tools that some folks have had, and then the learnings and the literacy and the training that comes along with it.
Thank you. As a final question, what policies or strategies would you recommend to governments and institutions to ensure that technology fosters equity rather than exacerbating inequalities?
Yeah, so I think that that's a good question. I think when we talk about policies, particularly with regards to government being involved, we need to be careful that we're not asking government to dictate use of technology, right? There should be some restrictions in some instances around if education or technology as a whole is creating harm. So whether it be climate harm, a lot of the feedback we hear about OpenAI is that it has pretty grandiose climate. It has detriments to the climate as it regards to the servers that are being used are, you know, infringing on water use and things like that. And so I think some of the ways that government can get involved without infringing on individual use is creating some sort of ethical policies for the organizations and the institutions that are in charge of these technologies to make sure that they're using sustainable business practices, that if, you know, they have excess in profits, they're sharing some of the dividends philanthropically. I think that there's ways to ensure that while it's growing and it's bustling and it's booming and it's technological, you know, assistance, that they're also doing a good job in their efficacy and ethical use on the back end for how it could be impacting our planet. And I think also one of the areas that could get interesting with regards to how educational institutions are using AI is to not be so afraid of it. I think when we first saw AI come to fruition, there was this fear that students were going to be plagiarizing and they weren't going to be using, you know, their own critical thought. And I think that there's a way for institutions, particularly educational institutions or leadership programs or positive youth development organizations, to start teaching AI literacy to youth to ensure that they're aware of what AI is, how they can be using it effectively while also developing their own critical thinking skills. And so we're not shaming the use of AI, particularly in youth. We're encouraging them to use it judiciously and be knowledgeable and aware of the impact that it's having.
Thank you so much, Lena. Your insights has been really helpful for us. Coming up next, we will explore the promises and challenges of emerging educational technologies. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Global Education Today. In this segment, we're diving deep into the evidence and insights that underscore how technology is transforming global education. We will explore the promises of emerging technologies like AI and IoT, their practical applications, and the barriers that still stand in the way of equitable implementation. Let's begin with some of the most exciting innovations. Technologies like AI-enabled applications and IoT devices have made learning more engaging and efficient. According to Batia, AI-based solutions can track a student's performance and provide instant feedbacks to help them study more effectively. Imagine a virtual tutor that not only identifies where the student is struggling, but also adapts a lesson plan in real time to address those gaps. These tools have increased students' engagement and success rates, making education more personalized and impactful. Additionally, digital classrooms and virtual learning environments have revolutionized distance education. Hallam highlighted how these platforms allow students to learn in real time, breaking down barriers of geography and socioeconomic status. For students who live in too far from school or can't afford to commute, these tools provide an opportunity to access quality education without leaving their homes. It's a game changer for students worldwide. However, as promising as these technologies are, they're not without challenges. One of the most significant issues is accessibility. Chirita pointed out that while advanced tools enhance learning for students in well-resourced schools, they often exacerbate inequalities in under-resourced ones. Take, for example, the digital divide, a precedence gap between those who have access to high-quality technologies and those who don't. In rural or economically disadvantaged areas, limited internet connectivity, outdated devices, and a lack of digital literacy prevents students from fully benefiting from these advancements. Srinivasan emphasized that even in technologically advanced countries, disparities remain stark between the urban centers with robust digital infrastructure and rural areas struggling to keep up. The result? Educational outcomes in these underserved regions often lag behind, widening the gap rather than closing it. Now, let's talk about another critical aspect, cultural adaptability. While the technology has the potential to unite global learners, it's not always a design with cultural inclusivity in mind. Eppert argued that educational technologies often fail to account for differences in language, teaching styles, and cultural expectations. For example, a learning management system designed for Western education might struggle in regions where collaborative or student-led learning in this norm. This disconnect can lead to ineffective learning experience or even cultural tension. Tao and Gao suggest that to address this, technologies must be developed using local languages, cultural practices, and pedagogy. For instance, an online learning system needs to accommodate students in regions where English isn't a native language or where teaching traditions differ significantly. Imagine an AI-based educational platform that adapts not just learner's pace, but also to their cultural and linguistic context. This kind of innovation could make education truly inclusive and impactful. However, there's still a risk. As Pedro pointed out, while AI technologies are incredibly flexible, poorly designed systems could inadvertently exclude minorities or marginalized groups. To prevent this, we must prioritize multiculturalism and cultural relativity in the development of these tools. In a summary, the research paints a complex picture. Emerging technologies offer incredible opportunities to enhance education, but their success depends on how thoughtfully they're implemented. If we want these tools to work for everyone, we need to address barriers like the digital divide and ensure cultural inclusivity at every step. Up next, we will discuss the integration of findings and policies implication. Stay with us. Welcome back to Global Education Today, where we are unpacking the transformative rules of technology in global education. In this final segment, we're bringing together the insights from research, discussing their implications, and outlining what needs to happen to ensure these tools are used equitably and effectively. Let's start by summarizing the findings. Emerging technologies, particularly AI and digital platforms, have shown immense potential to transform education. As Appert notes, these tools can enhance access to quality education, improve outcomes, and foster global collaboration. Imagine a world where the students in remote village has the same access to resource as someone in a metropolitan hub. However, this vision is far from fully realized. The integration of these technologies is not without obstacles. One major challenge is digital divide. Disparities in access to the internet, devices, and digital literacy that leaves underserved regions struggling to benefit from these advancements. As Wulandi argued, without strategy equity measures, this technology risks deepening educational inequality instead of reducing them. Another key finding is the realization that even the worst sophisticated technologies are standalone solutions. This success depends on broader social, economics, and political contexts in which they're not developed. Bhatia highlights this point. For digital tools to truly succeed, policies must account for local conditions, ensuring that the students in greatest needs and prioritized. Let's talk about solutions now. The first step is addressing infrastructure gaps. Pedro emphasized the importance of improving internet access, providing affordable devices, and ensuring stable power sources. Governments and institutions must focus on these fundamental elements to support digital education in underserved areas. International collaborations is another promising avenue. Tao and Gao suggest that partnerships between developed and developing nations can play a crucial role in leveling the playing field. This could involve technology transfer, joint research projects, and capacity building initiatives to strengthen technological capabilities in less developed countries. One emerging issue is cultural adaptability. Jiri highlighted that for technologies to be truly effective, they need to reflect the local languages, cultural practices, and pedagogical approach of the community they serve. For instance, the educational platform that works brilliantly in the United States might fail in a region in rural Asia unless it's tailored to the linguistic and cultural realities of that region. By designing cultural responsive tools, we can ensure that students from diverse backgrounds benefit equally from the technology's advancements. So where does all of this leave us? The conclusion is clear. While the new technology holds incredible promises for revolutionizing education, their implementation must be thoughtful, inclusive, and equitable. As we've seen, the digital divide and cultural adaptability remain significant barriers. Bridging these gaps is not just a technology challenge, a moral imperative. Governments, institutions, and international organizations must work together to create policies that make technology accessible and cultural relevance for all learners. As we step into this digital future, we need to ensure it's a future where no one is left behind. That wraps up our discussion today on the transformative role of technology in global education. I hope this episode has shed light on the complexities and opportunities of integrating technologies into education. If you're enjoying this episode or have thoughts to share, please subscribe, leave a comment, or connect with us on social media. Until next time, I'm Lingbing Meng. This is Educational Frontlines. This is Global Education Today. Let's keep learning, innovating together.